Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Gabriel Chronicles by Dennis Flannery is the epic story of Alexander Gabriel, a brilliant 43-year-old investment broker who, following a ski accident, finds himself inexplicably hurled back 35 years in time and forced to begin his life over starting at age 8. Dennis and his wife Zelia live on a small ranch outside of Bend, Oregon. Dennis has 3 adult children, started writing 20 years ago, and has published 4 novels, The Gabriel Chronicles, books 1, 2, 3, and 4, a quadrilogy. Dennis Flannery, author of The Gabriel Chronicles, is our guest on This Week in America. Dennis, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I love the series. So many different levels that we can talk about. Fascinated by going back in time with the knowledge that you had as an older person, what you would do with that. And going in and trying to solve some of the world's problems, and you address those. But let's start briefly. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I covered it very, very briefly. What's your background and where did this desire to write come from?
Well, those are two good questions. Well, I was born and raised in Inglewood, California, right where the LA airport is, many, many years ago. Had a lot of experiences. You know, I had, we were kids in my neighborhood, which is kind of a lower middle class, if you will. All the kids had jobs, you know, I had a paper route and a dishwasher, whatever I could do make money. When I was 20, my lifelong friend Bob and I bought an old Mass Statesman for $78. It was not pretty. It looked like a dung beetle, but it ran well. We drove that beauty to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And at that time, I think there were 6,500 people living there. Now I understand there's over 500,000.
Yes.
That was discovered, apparently. We bought horses from the local cowboys, and after a while became their friends. And we parked our dung beetle and used our horses as our main mode of transportation. Nothing was too far away, but we could actually just ride downtown, which was all that far away, hitch our horses to a hitching reel, go into the store or restaurant, wherever, just like the old West. We had more damn fun.
Well, it sounds like it. And out of that grew this. Well, you've done extensive traveling too, haven't you?
Oh, my. Yeah, my wife and I, once the kids were grown and out, we started traveling. We've managed to hit all 7 continents. Just what an eye-opening experience traveling like that is. The Antarctica being a bit chilly. Beautiful down here. It's just really something.
It's such an amazing background that brought you to writing. Go ahead, finish on the background. Didn't mean to interrupt there. And talk about how this transitioned into writing, because you are a very talented writer. Talk about, again, your background that brought you here and why you started this writing process, because you're very good at it.
Well, I traveled with the company. I was a vice president of Old Republic Life Insurance Company. And I was in charge of the 8 Western states, the programs therein. So, and I'd read a book, as anybody knows that flies a lot, which I did. Reading kills a lot of boredom.
Oh, yes.
So I picked up my weekly book at the airport and started reading it. And it was just horrible. I couldn't even believe anybody wrote it or produced it. And as I was dumping it in a dumpster, I said to myself, I can write better than that. So when I got home that Friday, I started writing. And I soon discovered I didn't know much about writing, although I thought I probably could.
Well, you learned very quickly. How long before you really decided, this is something I enjoy doing?
Probably, I kind of enjoyed the creative and the learning portion of it right away. But I wasn't in any hurry. I wasn't seriously writing a novel. I was kind of seeing if I could write. And it took me 9 years to write that first book. But I bought books like Mastering Fiction Writing, How to Write a Blockbuster Novel, all those things that people do. Very helpful. But the most helpful thing I found was subscribing to the Reader's Digest. That, they show editing stories that were written in and how they edited and why they edited. That was very valuable to me.
That is interesting that Reader's Digest was part of what launched your career as a writer. Our guest is Dennis Flannery. That's Flannery. His website, dennis.flannery.com. I'm trying to say that. dennis.flannery.com. The book available wherever books are sold, and we've got this link on our website. You can go there and find out all the information on the whole series of books. The books are The Gabrielle Chronicles, focusing on book one today. That sets the groundwork, but you'll find books 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's interesting. The reviews have been excellent. In fact, one review I love says, if you like Tom Clancy or Nelson DeMille, you will find the Gabrielle series excellent. You will love the Gabrielle series. Where has this author been hiding? A review like that. You've done your homework well in putting this together. Talk about the background on this. And it really, you're right, a lot of your writing comes out of what you saw, you and your wife, as tourists, doesn't it?
It is. It is. It had a lot of some of the feeling in what I wanted to accomplish in the first book. Really were not based entirely on that, but a lot of it fit in to what Alexander Gabriel wanted to do. It's based on, the first book's based on really two common fantasies. How many times have you heard or maybe said, if only I knew then what I know now?
Ah, yes.
Or, I would love to return to my childhood with the knowledge I have. Of course, the other fantasy is, what would I do if I am very rich? So the story starts off with Alexander, 43 years old, investment broker, a brilliant investment broker, who, following a skiing accident, is inexplicably shot back those 35 years. So he was, of course, when he regained consciousness, yada, 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 and finds out he's 8 years old, he went into terrified panics, and you know, which you would. Nobody thinks about that part.
It's just amazing.
So we follow. Go ahead.
No, finish up that. I didn't mean to interrupt that, but yes, it you know, we go back with him, things go well for a while, and then they don't.
Yeah, well, they go well for a while, and some tragics happen in his life, and I even have trouble. I had a point when I had to write something that I didn't want to do, but I needed for the plot. I stopped writing for 3 months. I just couldn't write it. It's just amazing to me. I guess I just got really involved in the characters.
Yes.
But it follows Alex for the next 49 years while he accumulates a fortune and starts designing things and buying up all the media companies he can get. He buys an island off of Africa and creates a new nation so he could operate with impunity without having to worry about government interference. And I don't want to give away the final plot, but it gets very interesting for the whole thing.
Well, it really is. This is literally a page-turner. You will start reading and think, I'll maybe try to squeeze another couple chapters in before I call it a day. Suddenly, you're like halfway through the book already because you're not going to want to put it down to see what happens. You've got acts of betrayal. You've got murder, Islamic terror shattering Alex's world. This plot is really intricate. It is so well written, so well developed, and I love the fact that it was so intense for you as the author. You had to step back from it from a little bit because this is real life coming alive. Talk a little bit about the emotion that you went through in creating this story. And you have all of these problems, but you've got some solutions that you offer in the book, don't you, to some of the world problems that we're all grappling with now?
Yes. Yes, I do, and they're a little bit harsh, to say the least. He takes over, he and his team take over most of the media in the world. He buys it because he is that rich. There's nobody richer. And he's able to do these things in building these skyscrapers and what have you. But it also relates to his parents and some horrible tragedies there. It's terrible. No, in the end, the world is a whole lot better place to live in.
And you'll follow that adventure in The four books, you'll get all this information, by the way, at Dennis's website, the Gabriel Chronicles. We're talking about book one, which is the foundation for the series. When you started this series, first of all, did you know it was going to be a series? When you did book one, did you know this was going to be the beginning of a quadrilogy?
No, not at all. You know, when I had people, readers that I personally knew, would say, you've got to write another book as well. And I got thinking about it, and I said, well, Alex still has a whole bunch of money. So book two is called New Home. So they built a galaxy ship that would hold 20 colonists, young people, all yes. put in stasis. And for 32 years, and they take off, and at 32 years at nearly the speed of light, they find an ideal planet that settles. And it goes through the settlement, what had to be done to improve the planet so humans could actually thrive on it. Interaction with other species, most of them friendly, one wasn't. We had a little battle with that, but that didn't last long. My books we're really into science fiction here, but my books are not violent like most science fiction. I don't have any monsters killing people or attacking or anything like that. It's more in the development of the planet, what has to be done, all the details involved in that, and then the interaction with the other species. Just an interesting thing. And then they finally end up settling that completely. So,
you know, there's a lot of technology involved in this too, isn't there? In dealing with science fiction and all the scenarios, some you want to have plausible, but we don't know exactly what the outcome is going to be as you're developing these characters that enter from other galaxies. Talk about the background, the research that you do in the technology. How difficult, how challenging was that for you in coming up with these characters to make them maybe realistic and believable, and the technology that you use?
Well, the technology, I worked briefly in my youth at the Aerospace Corporation in Inglewood, and I was in the shipping receiving, so I would go around to the various labs and delivering whatever they needed, whatever parts they ordered. And the scientists were very kind to me, and I could sit down and they explained what they were doing. I just love that kind of thing. So I gathered that, but most of what I develop is all just in my imagination. That was good on the background on some of the technology I used. And I tried not to use anything over the top. I tried to use existing science or commonly accepted theories of various things. And that's how I wrote all the books.
Our guest on the program is...
There's not a lot of violence in it.
Well, and that's a nice thing. And as I'm reading reviews, people appreciate that. Sometimes people feel authors, they have to outgore each other. And that gets to be a little old after a while. And yours is not in that line at all. It's science fiction, but it's very gentle science fiction. You can really get into the story and not worry about somebody's going to blow up here in a couple of minutes, and I'm not prepared for that. It is so well written, so well laid out. All four of the stories were available. One we're focusing on is the Gabriel Chronicles number one, but they're all available. And at Dennis's website, you'll get all the information, dennis.flannery.com. Books available at Amazon, the usual places, wherever books are sold. And we've got a link directly to Dennis's website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When you started, because you go the story really evolves and goes in different directions, and you have different subplots that we're dealing with, different layers. Did you use an extensive outline in the beginning as you were doing this, or has the story just sort of developed organically as you were writing it?
Organically, yes. I didn't do a lot of studying of those things. After a while, you know, a lot of the scenes and a lot of the books kind of wrote themselves. Once you get on a line of thought, or at least when I got to a thought, then the thoughts kept coming in that same line. Then improving, of course, as all writers know, you rewrite and you rewrite and you rewrite.
Yes.
Well, when I first wrote the book number one, the beginning, I ended up with 185,000 words. It was a monster. And I had several people say, boy, that's a bit big. So I read somewhere that movie scripts is 1 minute per page. So I sat down and I wrote a script, a movie script, based on book one. And I was able to edit out 22,000 words. So I'm down to 163,000 on the finished book. And boy, I'll tell you, and then most authors would probably feel the same way, is you hate deleting that many words. They're hard-earned to start with.
Well, yes, I would think that would be difficult to go back, because you put it there for a purpose. Now you're going back and you're trying to do some editing, still make it sense, still make the story flow so people understand the storyline and where you're going. So you're telling me, as an author standpoint, in your case, that was difficult to go back and do.
Oh, it was. It was. But I'm glad I did it. It really tightened up the story. And that was definitely the right thing to do. Yeah, so, just... We have in book three, the Superiors, book three. These people came, and aliens came down. They had a spaceship that was 3 miles in diameter, and they were 10,000 years ahead of the humans in technology. But they had been studying the humans for thousands of years, as it turns out, and the humans were some of their favorite people, and of course, the humans never knew they were around. So they get to be great friends in book three, trading partners. They're just everybody's having a reasonably good time.
You know, that's a nice thing with the series. You finish one and you like it, you're sad that it's over with. We got a book two, you got a book three, a book four. Will there be a book five, do you think?
No, book four was very difficult. That's when my cognitive abilities and imagination started failing me. It took a long time, about 3 years for book four. It only took me 2 years. You know, it took me the 9 years for the first book. It took me just 2 years for the second book, so I had already learned something, thank God.
Are you...
Not the same for the three, but the fourth one, it was a little more difficult.
I guess you
quite
can...
complicated. And,
yeah, you can tell when it's time.
Yeah, we'll find when to read the... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The readers, when they read that book four, they'll go, oh my. And I won't give away the plot, but it's something different.
Well, from what I read, but it is, and it's worth staying with the book all the way through. So you sort of knew at that point, okay, it's time to move on. Do you have any other writing that you're working on? Maybe another book?
No. You know what, I've people that read the first one say, you got to write another one, so yada, yada. And I said, okay, I have an idea or two. And then same thing, okay, do it again. You know, especially my friends, you got to have another one. Oh, I said, kind of an interesting story. I was in our local hospital getting prepped for minor surgery. And, you know, you're in those little rooms with the curtain.
Yes.
And the curtain was pulled back, and the nurse is doing her thing to prep me. And I look up, and there's another nurse kind of standing outside the room and staring at me. Huh, that's strange. So she finally walks in and she says, are you Dennis Flannery? I says, yes. She says, I had just finished reading all three of your books, the most thought-provoking. She just started screaming around the hospital. That was amazing. When I told her I was writing a fourth, she was just beside herself.
Well, to get that feedback, sometimes, you know, authors don't, unless they do the book fairs, book signings, that type of thing. But to get that feedback like that, and you think, okay, it was all worth it. The sleepless nights when I'm trying to figure out what Alex is going to do next and where he's going to go and what world he's going to conquer. You've got somebody that really shows their appreciation in what you've done with that. You know, you mentioned before the movie script, and one of the reviews that I read, the one talking about comparing you with Tom Clancy and Nelson DeMille, talking about this would be a blockbuster movie. And I can see it as a blockbuster movie. Any progress on that?
No, I really haven't perceived that at all. I just kind of did that so I could edit my book. But many people have suggested, you know, they say the movie would be great, and I suggest to them, because it's such a complicated and long story, that miniseries might be better.
Yes.
Tell the whole thing a whole lot better.
Well, and with all the content providers out there now, there's a market for something like this, and this would be an excellent ongoing series. We're talking about the Gabriel Chronicles by Dennis Flannery. That's Flannery. His website, dennis.flannery.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Published by PrimexPublishing.com. And information on our website. You can link on directly to Dennis's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk a little bit again about this, the travel that you did and how this developed you as a person, you as a writer, a creator of books. You saw the good, the bad, and the really ugly of the world, and it really left an impression on both you and your wife, didn't it?
Oh, it did. It's surprising. You know, you go to like Buenos Aires, Argentina, and as you're driving from the airport or being driven from the airport to downtown, the slums, hill after hill, just full of these,
yes,
these almost cardboard dwellings. It just, you know, and millions of people, and everywhere, no matter where you went, they had those slums, and I just found that horrible. Right? And it had an influence on part of what I was writing in the book one, kind of clearing up that problem or helping that problem worldwide.
You know, as tourists, we sometimes go to the touristy place. We stay there. We spend all of our time there. We don't see the rest of the country. I remember on one of the first trips to Cancun, we, of course, were on the hotel strip, and it's great there. The people, the Spanish people who work there, you're thinking they have to be making a lot of money. All the tips that we're leaving, they have to live a great life down here. We decided one day just to go off one of the little side streets there. It is a whole different world, and talk about poverty. It was evident, and I'm sure these people took what little money they made, went home trying to keep their family going. We really sometimes miss seeing the real world, don't we, as tourists?
That's right. You're not seeing the background, you know, behind the curtain thing. And I was so surprised. And every time I go, there they are again, you know, just millions of them. And it just, I don't know, maybe bad government or bad politics or whatever the case may be, just aren't taking care of their people properly. And there may be too many people in the world. And that's part of one of my books too, by the way.
Well, a whole other issue, and that background has helped you as you carve the stories that you tell in the Gabriel Chronicles books, available wherever books are sold, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Information at Dennis's website, dennis.flannery.com. A couple minutes left in the program. If you had a situation like Alex, that suddenly you go back to like you're 8 years old again, would the older Alex say to you, start writing sooner? Don't wait so long. Start writing sooner. Would you have started?
Oh, yes.
Do you wish you had
absolutely
started? Yeah.
I you know, that's why it took 9 years to write the first book, because I had no background in doing that. And I really wish I would have taken that up decades before. It would have made my life easier, and I would have had a fun, more interesting life, if you will. Of course, I had a pretty interesting life, as it turns out. Anyway.
It sounds like, from what little I know, that what you've been able to do and accomplish. And what does this feel like now? This is, you know, 4 books that you have published. You're a published author. You're getting that recognition. Somebody, at the hospital recognizing you and praising you for the work that you're doing, the book series that you've written. What's it been like doing this? And so many people, unlike the lady at the hospital, they're not going to come up to you because they really don't know who you are. They're across the country, even worldwide, reading and enjoying these books. What's it like to, what sense of achievement, accomplishment do you have in touching these people in such a positive way?
Well, it's gratifying, very gratifying. You know, when somebody says, boy, I can't believe how you came up with all those ideas and how you managed to do that and do this. And of course, I always get that, what an imagination.
Yes.
A lot of, there's some people that don't like my book. Not many, thank God, but I know they don't like it when they say, boy, you have a big imagination. They don't say they like the book. They just say they had a big imagination because they don't want to hurt my feelings by telling me they don't like the book.
Yeah, something positive. Well, they think that's a positive, a compliment that you've got a big imagination. Have you always, you know, science fiction, was that in your background? Did you read a lot of science fiction growing up?
Well, not a great deal. My favorite authors would be like Robert Ludlum, James Clavell, Wilbur Smith, Dan Brown, Frank Herbert. Now, there's a science fiction book.
Yes.
And Stephen King. I always enjoyed his stories, as many people. And Joseph Wambaugh. Fabulous stories, you know.
Yes, I mean, that's
I even read one book by F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby, and that was the best written. The prose in that book, I was just astounded. Just went, wow, there's a writer. Something about that book just thrilled me.
Well, it's interesting that you can take all of those who helped shape who you are as a writer. Dennis Flannery, our guest on the program. The book is the Gabriel Chronicles is book number one in the series that we've been talking about on the program. All of them available at Dennis's website, which is dennis.flannery.com. Dennis, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on the success of the Gabriel Chronicles. And I hope you work on something else and we have a chance to talk about it. You've done an excellent job with this series. Books available wherever books are sold. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was really interesting.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. The book, once again, the book series, The Gabriel Chronicles. I mentioned PrimaxPublishing.com, the publisher. I thank them for arranging our conversation with Dennis today. The right choice. Providing superior publishing needs to help authors on their publishing journey, a one-stop solution, PrimaxPublishing.com. And again, Dennis Flannery, our guest on the program, his website, Dennis.Flannery.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to Dennis's website, get information there on all four of the books and order them there as well. Book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.